Breaking Bread is brought to you by North York Community House, an organization that builds strong, resilient, and inclusive communities in Northwest Toronto.
It's time for a shift. This is the shift. Change big things in the face.
Hello, everyone. My name is Shannon, and I'll be your host for today's episode of Breaking Bread, Stories of Black Communities in Transition. Our limited podcast series seeks to take a deeper dive into redevelopment and uncover the truth about this phenomenon in the city of Toronto. Throughout this journey, we'll be speaking to residents, community leaders, and industry experts to shed light on the experiences of those living through these major transitions, providing further insight into the real consequences of urban redevelopment. In the previous episode, we were joined by Jason McDonald, who owns a business in Little Jamaica on Eglinton West. Today, we're planning on shifting perspectives and focusing on redevelopment from a resident's perspective. We'll be speaking to Balkis Hashiru, a resident of Lawrence Heights, on her experience living in Lawrence Heights as the community is currently revitalized.
So just to start us off today, can you please introduce yourself and also please tell me what community you live in and how long have you been a resident of this community?
Sure. My name is Balkis and I am from the Lawrence Heights community. I have been a resident of the Lawrence Heights community for, I want to say, almost 16 years now. We're a little bit, getting close to 16 years. So my family and I moved here in 2006, in the summer of 2006. So I think, yes, it's about 16 years now.
Wow, that's quite a while.
That is.
Wow. So you must be very familiar with the community then.
Yes. I guess you could say I know my way around the community. I mean, this is actually the second, community that I've lived in since we immigrated to Canada. So we lived elsewhere for about a year and then we moved here. So this is really my second home now.
Oh, that's great to hear. You know, you said that you've lived in Lawrence Heights for like 16 years plus now. And you very well know that Lawrence Heights is currently undergoing a revitalization, a whole redevelopment, so many changes happening. And from your experience living in this community while all of this is happening, have you experienced any positive changes in your community through this redevelopment?
I guess in some ways I could say so, whether it's directly or indirectly. And for me, I guess in many ways, probably a lot more indirectly, in terms of some of the positive opportunities that have been coming around as a result of the redevelopment, whether it's, you know, job opportunities for a lot of the community members, programs that are being rolled out as part of, like, you know, the plan to engage residents and for residents to economically benefit from this redevelopment, right? So in that sense, like a lot of the benefits I would say that I have gained from this redevelopment would be more like, not necessarily like to me, but maybe with people around me who've been able to benefit from this redevelopment in general. Or whether it's like, you know, scholarships for people who are getting into universities and then they've been able to take advantage of. Those are some few things that I can think of off the top of my head that are sort of like positive, to this whole redevelopment thing that's going on right now.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a good point. Building off of that, have you experienced like any other experiences from you specifically? It doesn't have to be positive.
Mm-hmm. In some ways, like if I think about it, I think if I, like for myself personally, some of the positive that I can think of is because of the redevelopment, I'm noticing like a change in a sense, in like the sense of safety that I feel that I have. And I say that because, you know, growing up here, going to high school, and, you know, we had some summers where there were a lot of shootings in the neighborhood, a lot of deaths. I had friends who've passed away who were young and just unfortunately at the wrong place at the wrong time, you know. And I feel like now it seems like it's a little bit safer in a sense. So that for me is a big plus, you know, because walking home at night, I hate to just like be looking over my shoulder. And I do get that feeling. And there have been times where I've spent sometimes away from the neighborhood, and I come back and I have this sense of anxiety, like walking home at night. And I'm just like, why do I feel a bit nervous? And really, it's just because you don't know what could happen. Someone can just be driving by and it could be a shooting, and you know, you don't know this person. So in a sense, like, I feel a bit more safer. And I wouldn't say it's because like police presence or anything like that. I just think it's because the face of the community is changing, and maybe people know that not everyone who's lived here before here anymore. That's what I would, I guess, defer to as the reason for that. But in a way, that's a really good change, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Community safety is a big thing and a big part of, you know, community and its whole redevelopment and revitalization as well too. So thank you for sharing that.
For sure. Oh, sorry, yeah. If you don't mind. Yeah. I just want to add something. Actually, I think another, I guess, positive or something that I have benefited from through this redevelopment or revitalization is, like as part of like the social development plan, mental health was something that was like highlighted as something that's important for the community. So I was very fortunate to be part of like the few people who did the mental health first aid course last year. I think it was in October, if I remember correctly. And for me, that is something that's, you know, really important because, you know, as we know, like mental health is something that many people are dealing with, you know, and within the community, with the landscape changing and the environment changing, the loss of community, so many people, and even with COVID, right, so many people really, really needed this mental health support, and being able to participate in that training, I think was something that I'm extremely grateful for. And that is definitely beneficial to the community as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, especially with the social development plan being so tied closely to this whole revitalization and highlighting that impact of mental health, especially now during a pandemic where a lot of people have, mental health has been negatively impacted. That's really important to get that training.
So for sure. Really
great. Yeah, definitely. Kind of switching gears now. So my next question is, you know, again, being a resident and being there during this revitalization, have you witnessed your engagement changing over the years? So kind of to add a bit more detail or to explain that question a bit more, were you involved when you first heard about the revitalization? What did you do and what did that look like?
So I think to answer that question, for sure, my engagement has changed significantly over the years. When I first heard about revitalization, I was in high school. I think I was probably like in grade 10 or 11. And, you know, it was just kind of like this whole thing where people in the community were talking about, and of course you had sides, people who were for it and people who were against it. You just felt like it was just a way to displace people in the community. And so being very young, it was just kind of from hearsay. Occasionally at the time I was involved by just like going to some of like the community forums that they had in the community, I remember. But I wasn't actively involved in terms of like being a part of the decision-making process. But more recently, I found, especially within the last year or two, I found that that has changed a bit more. So for example, like I'm now a part of like the social development like group that's kind of working on making sure that the key items in the social development plan kind of get like they, you know, of course get ticked off and that stuff. So I'm recently kind of more involved in that, more involved in, you know, like different community conversations that involve, you know, redevelopment, slash revitalization, even like training community members and certain things. Yes, I've been a bit more involved. I don't know if there might be a question that comes up about the specifics, but those are some of the things so far.
Mm-hmm. And if you do want to talk about the specifics a bit more, feel
free to do,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think just based on a few things that happened in the community, one, we had a death in the community that was a bit close to home, you know, like one of our neighbors, and that just really just, I guess it kind of struck a nerve within me. And again, that goes back to like the issue of safety, right? Just, you know, going to work and not being able to make it home safely, even though you're not involved in anything stereotypically negative that people would assume would make someone get shot, right? Like that issue of safety comes into the forefront as well again. And just kind of thinking about that situation and just thinking like, where do we even go from here? Like, how do we heal? How do we get more people involved? And, you know, just having conversations with a few community members or friends that I have in the community. And I just thought, you know, like if I don't get involved and make my voice heard, I'm kind of a part of the problem, because in some ways, sometimes you see like, you know, some people, you know, they have great intentions, but you can only, of course, like lead or give feedback based on what you know. And then you just look at that and you're like, some things are not done right. But then, you know, being a young person and having like fresher ideas and fresher outlook on things, it's like, well, you need to be involved if you want things to be done differently. So I think that kind of motivated me to want to have more of a say, be a part of like the decision-making, you know, table within the community, and having the best interest of members of the community in mind while making some of these decisions, right? So that kind of got me to join the SDP advisory board. And so this is my second year so far. And what I love about that is because with the SDP, we touch upon like different things, whether it's like food security, you know, safety, you know, like financial, like health of members of the community and stuff like that. So like, these were things that really resonate with me. And these were things that I felt is important in having a well/functioning community, right? A thriving community. So that kind of led me to join that. And actually as part of the SDP, just, I think almost, yeah, just about 2 weeks ago, I led two sessions, one in the Neptune community and one here in Lawrence Heights. And this was just about like financial, I guess like well-being slash financial like discussion, but from like an intergenerational perspective. So having younger and older people in the room and discussing finances. For me, I thought that was really, really important because, you know, here we have folks who some people would say, you know, like we're in a low-income neighborhood, right? So it's like, if really this is a low-income neighborhood, what do we do to get ourselves out of this, you know, situation, right? If getting ourselves outside of this community willingly is a step forward in terms of like economic, I guess, mobility, then we need to be more aware and we need to like take charge of our finances. So for me, that was something that I was very, very passionate about. And I was happy that the SDP approved for that to happen. And so far, the feedback has been incredible. And, you know, of course, people want us to have more session. But, you know, with things like this, it's also all about the funding. But people, I think during that session, were able to kind of have some sort of introspection and think about it, like, oh, my God, like, do I even have like 6 months worth of savings if some sort of recession hits, right? Do I have enough to pay my rent if something goes wrong? You know, do I have like my RRSP set up? Do I have like education plan for my kids set up? And all of those things, right? And sometimes people are just, you know, working, paying rent and doing all the things and just going through the motion and not even thinking about ways to save for the future, ways to improve your livelihood, ways to, I guess, escape poverty in a nutshell. So for me, these are some of the things that I'm really passionate about. And I'm thankful that through the SDP, as part of this whole revitalization process, I've been able to kind of contribute towards that discussion.
That's really, really great. And you're getting a lot of experience and able to help, you know, develop your neighborhood and your community as well, too. So that's great. So you spoke about decision-making and being part of that decision-making process. So as a younger resident, a millennial resident, do you think, you know, residents' involvement in the planning process has been taken into consideration? And not only planning, but also this whole revitalization and redevelopment process?
That's a very layered question. It's a very layered question. And as a millennial, right, like, I guess maybe I have a different outlook on things, a different way of seeing things. In some ways, yes, and in other ways, no. And I can talk about those ways where I feel like they have been consideration and the ways that I feel like they have not. So again, to talk about the positive, right, so as I said, we, you know, through the SDP, we have different, you know, areas that we're looking at, again, whether it's food security, whether it's safety and figuring out like ways to make our community safer. These are all things. So the key focal point of things that the SCP is working on are things that the community true, I guess, like, how do you call it? Like true, like consultation have highlighted as like priority or key items, right? So some aspects of that are being taken into consideration, but we still have other aspects of it that I still think we're lacking in. And I'll give an example of that. For example, you know, with this redevelopment, I believe that a lot of members of the community, you know, have been sold this idea. And again, through consultation, they've stated that they wanted, you know, a specific numbers of affordable housing, for example, whether it's like a rent-to-own type of housing or the ability to buy a house and have, you know, the developers work with you and with the TCHC in terms of like, you know, helping you come up with a plan. You know, you want to stay in this community, there's, you know, new homes being built, why not invest in this community, right? You've been a community member for years. We have people who lived here for 20 plus years. This is pretty much for some people, the only place they know. So why not really be a permanent, you know, member of the community through home ownership? And that is not something that so far, that's not something that's really like considered. I think in the first phase of the redevelopment, there were talks about certain specific numbers of units being available for folks who wanted to buy it. Again, if you ask people in the community, even for myself, I still don't know how many numbers of people were able to buy in the first phase of development. It was such a, I don't even know if I would say a hush process or just a very unpublicized process. Like people just didn't know how they even chose whoever they chose, you know? And like from that, I think there have been like a loss of trust, even from that process alone, for many members of the community in believing, you know, what TCHC says they're going to do, or even what the developers have promised and throughout the consultation, many people now kind of feel jaded because they're thinking, all right, you promised, you know, this space, this kind of community space. Now with the new buildings that have been constructed, you know, the ones that are like market buyers and stuff, they have a gym downstairs and you can see it as you walk by, but the ones that are for TCHC residents, there's no gym, you know, and that in itself is already sort of like a clear, in a sense, like discrimination based on, you know, the money that you have, you know, like to me, that's not forming a sense of community. You know, that you're creating a divide, a very clear divide already. And these are things that can start to harbor like, you know, discontent, like, or I wouldn't say hatred, but these are things that kind of get residents thinking, wow, I don't matter, you know, because you feel that people who paid and bought this property, they deserve to have a gym. But because I'm paying market rent and I'm a TCHC resident, or, you know, I'm living in a subsidized housing, I do not need, you know, the gym. Like, so these are ways that I think like some of those promises have not been fulfilled. And of course there's room to make changes in the next few phases, right? But it needs to be said so that whoever is going to make those decisions can think about it, because these are things residents are thinking of.
Yeah, great. That was a great answer. You actually answered my next question. That was actually really great. Yeah. Yeah, there is that sense of, you know, discrimination and separating like the rental and social housing people versus like the condo owners and the owners. And that definitely creates a divide within the community when you're trying to build a sense of community and strengthen the community bonds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And speaking about, you know, broken promises, do you believe that there is a need for the developers to be held accountable? And if so, how would you like to see this manifest?
Absolutely. Because in a sense, this whole redevelopment, you know, sure, you're changing the face of the community. It's obviously a great economic benefit for the developers as well, right? But, you know, lives are involved, people are involved. And so they do need to be held accountable to their promises that they've made, accountable to the voices that they've heard, voices of members of the community that they've heard, and they've agreed to, like, to the promises that they've agreed to fulfill, but are unfulfilled, right? In terms of how I would like to see this manifest, I think we still have to continue to get more community engagement. Because so far, I see that there are a handful of people within the community that are, you know, interested in what's going on. And you see the same faces in different, you know, groups and so on. And that is great, but we need newer faces. We need newer voices. And so, like, that's something that's always a challenge. How do we get newer faces and voices to be a part of this conversation? And in some ways, I can understand, you know, because again, you know, living where we live in, some people, you know, have maybe different times that they work, and for various reasons, right? Economic health, social, mental health reasons, some people cannot participate in the way we would love for them to. But we still do need like engagement, again, maybe through word of mouth, through, you know, people who are involved, telling their neighbors. Again, we used to have a great sense of community, you know, people know their neighbors, walk to their neighbors, ask for things and, you know, borrow household items and stuff. And in some ways, that's kind of like the informal way that news spread within the community. I know that now with some folks living in the apartment buildings, that might be different. And that's a change as well within the community, right? Like, how does information spread? If you're not on a mailing list, how do you know what's going on? If your neighbor doesn't tell you. So we still have to push to get newer voices be a part of like the conversation. I think that's one way we can hold them accountable.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's great. Thank you for that. So is there anything else that you'd just like to add? And now they've kind of come to the end of the interview.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would just love to add that for me as a person, Lawrence Heights is very dear to my heart. As I said, I've lived here for like 16 years. I went to high school here. I lived here throughout my university, you know, station and stuff. And I commuted from home to university. And it's shaped who I am. It shaped how I see the world. It shaped my understanding of struggles that people have. It's a different, like, I think I see life from a different lens because I live in this community. And maybe in some ways I wouldn't see it the same way if I wasn't living here. And for that, I think I'm quite blessed and I'm happy that I've been able to gain that experience. I've also had incredible communal support and communal feeling, you know, like being that, you know, my family immigrated here when I was 14 and we moved to Lawrence Heights when I was like 15. Again, being around so many people who are of immigrant background, it's like, you, in a sense, you kind of forget about race. Like, I didn't even really think so much about what's the race of the individuals that were my friends in high school or my neighbors in high school. And they were of like all kinds of backgrounds. That was just not Black. Again, it's because of that sense of community, because, you know, we all live together, we share, we laugh and cry and everything together. And I don't think there are lots of community where people have that sense of togetherness. And of course, you know, people might hear occasional negative stuff on the news, again, related to violence. This doesn't define the community. And I think it's important for people to know that because we lived here for many years. Many members of the community, of course, are very peaceful individuals, people who, you know, want to live and survive and just have the basic human rights that everybody needs to have. And, you know, unfortunately, you have some bad eggs, or you even have folks who are not even from our community coming in to commit this crime. And I think it's important to highlight, this is probably one of the best community I could ever imagine growing up and living in. And I'm very, very grateful for that.
Yeah, that's really, really great. Thank you so much. So I just want to really thank you again for being part of this podcast series. And I really enjoyed this. Like, I've gained a lot more insight into you, Balkis, and as well as, you know, how the impact and the influence that this revitalization has on you and some of your engagement as well too, and your life living within Lawrence Heights. So thank you for sharing today.
This is The Shift. Big change, big things in a phase. Yeah, big change, big things in a phase. Yeah, big change, big things in a phase. Yeah, a new phase. Yeah, this is The Shift.
This podcast is brought to you by North York Community House. North York Community House built strong, resilient, and inclusive communities in Northwest Toronto. We help children, youth, parents, and seniors become active, engaged citizens who lead positive change in their neighborhoods. Find us at nych.ca.